Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk. And the reason we're going to fast forward to Isaiah 43 today are twofold. First reason is because I know my job as whatever founder, leader of this thing, is partly to keep reminding you of what you already know. But also, as new people join us, to make sure everybody's up to speed. We know what God said to this movement, and we know what we're gunning for. And this is what God said. You'll know the story. In 1987, when myself and my brother had the idea for the first message event, Message 88, which had become the biggest youth mission Manchester's ever seen, just through the favour of God. But when we had the idea, we went back home all excited. We're going to book the Apollo for a week, and we're going to write to every church and have hundreds of local missions special focused on the hardest to reach. And we knew we'd heard from God, and we're all like, and then we got home and every ounce of faith drained out of us. And I sat in my bed and I said, oh God, if this really is you, if you want us to step out, we haven't got the vast amount of money it's going to cost. We haven't got the connections. Nobody knows. We're just two young lads in our mid-20s with a vision. Lord, will you please, I said, Lord, will you please speak to me through your word? And my set reading for that day was Isaiah 43. I was doing one of these, you know, read the Bible in a year things. And the verses that I immediately phoned Simon and said, God's going to do this, Si. Because the verses were, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself that they may proclaim my praise. And we put those verses on the bottom of our first letterhead, wrote to every church in Manchester. And in lots of ways, in 26 years, we haven't left those verses. I love God. I love his word. The way he can speak to you and keep revealing things, keep taking it forward through his revelation. So the first reason is because it's good. Sometimes it's good as we move forward to just go back and make sure we're on track with what God said. The second reason is somebody sent me this video this week that I want to show you. And it's a video of the desert, the Negev desert. The Negev desert takes up over half of Israel's landmass. And it's one of the driest places on earth. Things don't grow there until something happens, till there's rain in the mountains. Have you ever seen these videos? And every now and again, they'll see the rain in the distance in the mountains. And they'll know life is going to come flowing down from the mountains. They know rivers are going to flow. And suddenly, soon after, everyone's got drink. Things are growing. Everything's changing. So watch this amazing video. And people gather because they know it happens very rarely. But when it happens, there's a party going on. So just watch this. Okay, you get the idea. I saw that. Funny enough, I was really excited. I felt something jump in my spirit. Because this is the very place where all these words were prophesied. This is where Abraham wandered. This is where the children of Israel wandered for part of their 40 years in the desert. This is the desert, the very place it was prophesied to, that there'll be rivers in the desert. And they can come very quickly when things shift. When things shift on high, if you like. The rivers can flow very, very quickly. Not a little stream, because we're seeing streams in the desert. But Lord, we're longing for more, aren't we? And I just sensed watching that video that the life-giving water is going to flow once we see three things in place, if you like, three things in the mountains that are going to affect the people in the dry and arid territory. You understand what I'm doing with this being a bit prophetic, don't you? And the three things, of course, are prayer. My job as a leader, one of my jobs and our jobs, if we lead any aspect of this organization, is to test the prayer temperature. Far more important than the amount of people who are working for you, or the amount of people who come to your events, or the amount of vision you've got, the amount of how big your budget is what's the temperature of prayer in an organization? Because prayer affects things in the mountains. And before you know it, the rivers start to flow down from the mountains. And I'm excited about the prayer temperature. We always want more, don't we? I mean, James is a man who's seen the streams flow with prayer storm, but he knows the rivers are coming. And I want every single one of us to be on tiptoes of expectation. Things are hotting up. The rain is falling in the mountains. And we're going to see the evidence of that right down here, down and dirty, in the schools, in the prisons, in the estates. Because it's not just prayer we need to see. We don't just need to see prayer. We need to see presence. Because prayer that doesn't lead to presence is just pious for me and my little relationship with God. Prayer always leads to people presencing themselves for Jesus, with the presence of Jesus in the prisons, in the schools, in the tough communities. Once you've prayed, you've really prayed, you've touched the heart of God. And God's heart is for every broken, hurting, lost person in this community. In my opinion, there's no such thing as a hermit. Well, there are hermits, but they need to seek the Lord, because people don't want Christians. God doesn't want Christians locked away in little ivory towers in that prayer room. That prayer room in our mountains has got to result in presence, people carrying it out. When prayer leads to presence, which it has done through the Message Trust in these schools and prisons and tough communities, it starts to rain in the mountains. But we can't stop with presence, because prayer and presence always needs to lead to proclamation. And there he is. And I was thinking, who do I put a picture of on there? I said to Emma, certainly when you do this PowerPoint, don't put me up there. But where are the proclaiming evangelists? Where are the young guys who are coming through, who are passionate to preach the gospel to the masses? There's a prayer movement going on all over the world. There's a presence movement. There's a movement of social engagement and connecting with the poor and the marginalized. It's a beautiful thing. It's happened in our generation. But where's the people on the back of this who are going to shout loud that Jesus saves? Where are they? Where are the young guys? Where are they coming through? You know, Billy Graham is still preaching the gospel to more people than just through media and through his organization. But that can't be right. Some 95-year-old bloke leading the charge. Where are the young men who are just passionately to lay their lives down to preach the gospel to the lost? And I'm excited about this next season. We've been doing a lot of work at The Message, focusing on ones and twos, haven't we? Pouring our lives into young men and women out of prison and from the margins, who need help with work and homes and supportive communities. It's so right. We've been focusing on Eden teams, moving in, giving their lives to a few young people. Absolutely right. Jesus' heart. Presencing ourselves in the prisons and in the schools and in the tough communities, coming alongside these hurting lives to help them. But hey, alongside that, we've got to shout loud this gospel. We are in the throes now of partnering with this guy and Nathan and some other bands, including our bands, to go out with some big style evangelism. Next 2015, we're hoping is going to be the start of a year of large scale regional missions, finishing with the biggest youth missions these regions have ever seen. Wouldn't that be amazing? So we're praying for that, and we want to keep proclamation right there. But you know what happens when we've got prayer, when we've got presence, and when we've got bold proclamation happening? Expect the rivers to flow. I'm so grateful God gave us these verses as our touchstone foundational verses, because it's all in there, everything I want the message to be and to become. It's fantastic that that was the verse on that first night. And when I was preparing this, I thought, just thank you, God, that we've got these moments. I hope you've got your moments you can go back to and say, God spoke there. God did speak. I know he did. And I keep going back to him, and there's continuing revelation. Everything God's planned for us, I believe, is in these verses. Of course, we're not going to stick in Isaiah 43, 18 to 21 for the rest of our Christian walk. We're going to keep coming back to them. Because firstly, there's a see in there. See, well, firstly, actually, it says forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. Organizations like The Message can easily do that if we're not careful. We have a great, you know, we have the Worldwide Message Tribe, a great thing. Or we have, even though I say it myself, my part wasn't so good, but God used it. The MEC, we have this great thing. We have Message 2000. We have all these great things, and we can dwell in the past. We can get stuck in the past. But God's saying to every believer every day, see, see. Can you see? See, look, I'm doing new things. The first thing is because we are, first thing we've got a see, we're a visionary movement. Not a visionary leader, a visionary movement. Every one of us needs to be seeing God at work in our lives and through our work and seeing new ways of doing stuff. Because the second thing is, it's not just see, it's see I'm doing a new thing. We're, I believe, a pioneering apostolic movement. There's something about new stuff about the message, isn't there? There's actually something about new stuff that opens a space. If I may be so arrogant, again, when the Worldwide Message Tribe came along, 95% of Christian bands were all about, let's get in the charts. Let's get in the charts. Let's invade culture. And let's sort of sing songs. You don't know you're singing about your girlfriend or you're singing about God, but we're going to be salt and yeast in that culture. Great. Amen. Some people need to do that, don't they? But we came along, we're not about that, as if we're trying to get a hit. We're about hitting souls for Jesus. We're about preaching the gospel. We're about jumping in the house of God and hallelujah and get God. We're about, you know, this is us. But it was a new thing in that season. It really was a new thing. But suddenly all these other bands are like, oh, it's okay to shout about Jesus. It's okay to preach the gospel. When we did Message 2000, it was a new thing. Surely the evangelicals, the loudmouth preachers, don't get alongside and pour their lives into hurting individuals and do random acts of kindness. Well, of course they do. But the trouble is, there's been now, I think, in the last 25 years, this swing, which always seems to happen in the church. There's an imbalance. All the preachers, oh, we preachers don't get involved with washing people's cars or painting people's fences. And then so there's a swing, a good swing, where we swing towards good deeds and we swing towards acts of kindness and we swing towards social engagement. And out of it comes all these amazing projects, food banks and well, lots of the Eden work, health centres and all these marvellous stuff, beautiful kingdom stuff. But if we remove the proclamation, what are we all about? What have we got left? If we actually take the gospel that changes lives and changes communities. So there was a see, I'm doing a new thing about the message, a pioneering thing about so much that we've been involved in. And the third thing about us is there's a rivers in the desert thing, a streams in the wasteland, the wild animals will honour me. We're a transformational movement. Honestly, believe God's put that on us. We're meant to be people who are changing society. Primarily, we're not people who fill churches. That'll happen as a byproduct of a people who carry this gospel out in word and deed and believe for rivers. Believe that if we do enough praying and we presence ourselves in these communities, if we're bold and unashamed about the gospel, flipping out, the river's going to flow. And we may be inconsistent. We may be not the people we should be. But a river of life flows on the back of a people who are sold out to the gospel, who are prepared to sacrificially pray, who are prepared to give themselves to the poor and the hurting. A river of life hits the desert and life springs up. Are you excited about that? It's our role. It's what we're about, people. It's who we are. We're the rivers in the desert, streams in the wasteland. We're the wild animals will honour me. Those who have formed to declare my praise. And it's to give drink to my chosen people. And as far as we're concerned, God's chosen everybody. God wants everybody to be saved. We're not going to get het up about, are they chosen or are they not? We're just going to love everybody. Because the Bible does say God wants all people to be saved. All people to get a drink from this river of life-giving water. Are you with me? So we just go out and we watch the Lord hit them as we pray, as we presence, as we proclaim. And we see wild animals honour God, people whose lives were utterly chaotic. On Friday night, we did this little, I'm sure Laura won't mind. Is Laura not here? No. I'm sure Laura won't mind me saying this. But Laura shared her testimony. We did this little business dinner in London on Friday. And I just sat there thinking, Jesus Christ, you are amazing. How can somebody go from utter, you've heard Laura's testimony, utter brokenness in injecting heroin and shattered and her kids taken off her and sectioned to this beautiful woman of God we see in Shine. How can that happen? Nobody else can do that but Jesus. What a transformational movement, one life at a time. And I got an email in yesterday, and it said, "I just want to say, you know, why is there such a strong focus on the poor and the hurting and the tougher estates? Why do you spend so much time going into the prisons? What about nice people? What about all these nice people who need Jesus?" Well, I'll tell you why. Because I honestly believe it's Jesus' heart and Jesus' focus. There's a gospel imperative in this book to go to the poor and the marginalized and the hurting. You can't get away from the inordinate amount of time Jesus spent on demoniacs and lepers and prostitutes and gang members and tax collectors. He did, didn't he? He just surrounded himself, poured his life into the most hurting. But his strategy wasn't just for them. His strategy was for the whole world to be saved. And that's the second reason. Because when you see transformation come amongst the most broken, the most hurting, the most vulnerable, it changes society and everyone gets blessed. Our vision is for the whole of the UK to be saved. We're not going to do that in partnership. But every bit of evidence down history, if there's going to be a revival, because rivers in the desert bring revival, everything changes. They bring renewal, don't they? Suddenly everything's changed. If we're going to see that, it's going to start on the margins. And if we can see prisons emptied and crime plummeting, as if the whole city's not going to be blessed, as if that isn't going to bring great glory to Jesus, as if wild animals honouring him, oaks of righteousness, are planting for the display of the Lord's splendour, as if that isn't going to be part of God's revival movement, which is what we're called to. So let's stand, can we? Thank you, Lord, for giving us this scripture. Thank you for giving Jamie that song. Thank you that this is not just me at the front and you spoke to him in my bedroom. This is just a growing group of people who are carrying this vision. Lord, we pray it'll be hot on every one of our hearts. We'll give ourselves heart and soul to not dwelling in the past hurts and past baggage and past disappointment, but seeing your new thing. Today, I think the Lord wants to say, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" There's his part. "See, I'm doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing." But there's our part, perceiving it. And I just, Holy Spirit, ask you to come now. And if there's something new you want to do in us, new forgiveness, just baggages and hurts that have been holding us back, new healing in our bodies, new anointing for mission, new passion for this work, new sense of unity. "See, I'm doing a new thing," says the Lord. "You not perceive it." I pray you'll help us to be obedient people who perceive what you're doing. And we pray for the rivers to flow in the driest parts of our city and our nation. Thank you that so many are just desperate for a life-giving drink from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, sit down for a sec, because I want us to pray about something in groups. Many things we could pray about at the moment, many important things happening, and we've obviously got prayer day on Monday, which is going to be brilliant. Spread the word. Make sure everybody, and if anybody's ill, bring them in on a stretcher, because they don't want to miss it. We're going to be praying for our academy students who are going off to India the following day. We're going to see the new In Your Face and Square One production, which will absolutely knock your socks off. We've got Rachel Hickson in the afternoon, who consistently, year in, year out, brings a real prophetic edge to a word for this ministry. So whatever you do, don't miss it. And make sure all your teams are here for all the time. So it's going to be amazing.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.